As the early years of World War II progressed and the Royal Navy ordered large numbers of their existing S, T and U-class submarine designs, these designs were also slightly revised in various batch numbers in light of both immediate pre-war experience as well as wartime reports on various problems and potential improvements that were forwarded by commanders from the front lines. For the U-class, there were a number of prominent issues developing. Despite their design origins actually being that of possible hunter-killer subs, they'd later been turned into hybrid short-range patrol and training types in the pre-war design process. This meant, among other things, that they lacked any real surface armament to deal with aircraft, had fairly limited endurance, and turned out to have noise issues if the stern or the propellers were even the slightest bit out of alignment. And early versions also had issues with porpoising when the upper two single-shot torpedo tubes were fired. Thus, as design changes accumulated through various batches, it was decided to redesign the submarine more comprehensively. This consisted firstly of making the bow and the stern somewhat finer to improve hydrodynamic efficiency underwater, then switching over to using more welding instead of riveting on the pressure hull and the framing, along with getting rid of one anchor and the upper torpedo tubes, the latter of which had already been done with some of the U-class. This all saved considerable weight, which was then used to increase the thickness of the pressure hull by 25%, along with introducing a better quality of steel. Additional provisions were made for a 3-inch deck gun and a 20mm Oerlikon to be installed if needed, and the batteries were given more substantial shock absorbers, and the machinery was given heavier sound insulation. Finally, the internal spaces were reworked, with the wardroom placed adjacent to the control room, which made it a matter of a few steps for officers to go from rest to command of the submarine. Overall, these changes added up to a fractional increase in displacement compared to the Batch 3 U-class, displacing just over 650 tons on the surface. But in exchange, dive depth increased by 50% from 200 feet to 300 feet, and the better hull form resulted in an increase in underwater speed to 10 knots, although surface speed dropped slightly to just over 11 knots. This was thanks to 600 horsepower available from the diesels when on the surface and just over 800 horsepower from the electric motors when underwater, all of which were running two propellers. Underwater armament consisted of four torpedo tubes, all forward, with a single reload available for each tube. Along with the Submarine Torpedo Director Mark I, or STD, which caused no end of ribald jokes, the V-class in some ways represented a step closer to the hunter-killer origins of the U-class as originally designed. The main difference between the Submarine Torpedo Director and the US Torpedo Data Computer being that the British device needed constant input from the crew, as it generated a relatively static fire control solution, only updating if you manually updated the inputs, whereas the Torpedo Data Computer was able to retain inputted data and thus create a constantly updating solution all on its own, and then being able to adjust as new data was provided. 42 vessels were ordered for the class in four batches, most names starting with V, hence V-class, although unhelpfully, some later U-class had also been given V names and some V-class were given U names. Although, fortunately for us, in the latter case, most of the U-named V-class, if you're keeping up, would be cancelled, as 20 of the vessels ordered were later cancelled, partly due to overall submarine losses not being quite as bad as feared, but also because resources were being pushed in UK submarine construction towards the new A, or Amphion, class then under development, which were designed for the Pacific Theatre, and by early 1944, when the cancellations occurred, it was clear that that would be the main area for operations for submarines then under construction, and that required range, which the V-class, although improved over the U-class, still didn't have all that much of. Due to their relatively small size and short range, the class largely operated in the Mediterranean and North Seas. Despite operating in close proximity to enemy aircraft and anti-submarine assets, their stealth and their speed meant that none were lost, with the class lead, HMS Venturer, scoring the only underwater submarine versus submarine kill thus far in history when she sank a U-boat off of Bergen. However, with the end of the war came the realization that, at least for the Royal Navy, the small coastal submarine was not especially useful, and between this and the various advances in submarine technology, both being made by the Allies and seized from the Germans, the majority of the V-class went into reserve in the late 1940s, with some only having been on active duty for a couple of years. The exceptions to this were a handful that were transferred to Allied navies, with V-class submarines serving in the Norwegian, Greek, Danish, and French navies, and in some of these roles, a few would go on to serve to the end of the 1950s.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.